Example.
Mould in North Wales. Hi, Terry.
Oh, hello.
Your reflections.
A few months ago, my wife, who's in her 80s, fell and injured her head. It was quite serious, in my opinion, but I'm ex-forces, and thanks to the forces, I had good, very good first aid training, so I cleaned and dressed it as well as I could, but I wanted a clinical opinion on it as well. I went round to my local ambulance station, rather than call an ambulance out. It was shut. This was in the evening, only open during the day. So we've got a local hospital with a minor injuries unit. Went round to that, the hospital again was shut. So what can I do? I needed, because of the looking at it, I needed medical opinion on it. So I went to A&E. So people are forced to go to A&E, therefore putting the numbers up. But my main point is, if you make these cuts around locally, you're siphoning everybody in, and no wonder there's pressure on.
Thank you, Terry.
Speaker 1.
Hello, Susan.
Hello.
Afternoon to you. Tell me about your recent experience.
This was just before Christmas on Saturday the 14th. My partner was having the symptoms of a stroke. I rang 111, got nowhere. I rang for an ambulance, waited 3 hours. So in the end, we went into the A&E in Abergavenny, and we waited from 2:45 in the afternoon until 9:45 in the evening, along with a lot of other people.
And whilst you were waiting, what happened? I mean, clearly not a lot. You were waiting, but was there any contact during that time to give you any sense of how long you were likely to be waiting, or
no,
any sense that they didn't regard it as a priority?
There was a display that said that we would probably have to wait for 2 hours, which was clearly ridiculous. It was eventually changed after about 5 hours that the wait had extended to 7 hours. But no, there was very little communication. But they were all very, very busy.
And eventually,
all the staff were very busy.
Eventually, you, your partner, got to see a doctor.
We did at 9:45, and the first thing that she said was an apology. So, and she knew that we had waited for 7 hours, and said that they were fully staffed, and we were apologised to.
And the most important question.
It was still very distressing, and there
were
a lot of other questions.
Thank you for your perspective. We appreciate your call, Susan, and thank you for listening.
Speaker 2.
Let's bring in Sarah Locke in Southampton. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Grace.
Tell me about your experience.
Yeah, I was taken ill in November, and about 6 weeks after being in terrible tummy pain with something that I'd already been diagnosed with, I got a neighbour to drop me off at A&E because I felt that the pain was not under control, and I was frightened.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in, went into A&E, saw the triage nurse. Within 10 minutes, I saw the triage nurse. Then within 55 minutes, I was in a bed in a ward.
So it worked for you. It was quick.
It was absolutely perfect. I can't fault it. A nurse arrived, had a catheter inserted, blood's taken, two swabs to check I wasn't carrying a norovirus. Any of the procedures was explained to me. I was on a ward with six other like-minded women. X-rays 2 hours later, results received within an hour. Consultant examined my tummy and advised me to go home, return the next day for a scan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't fault it. The only thing I can fault is the lock on the loo didn't work. So my legs aren't quite long enough to keep the door closed.
What an interesting perspective. We appreciate your call, Sarah.
Speaker 3.
Dr. Paul Bayliss is in Derry, Londonderry, in Northern Ireland. Dr. Bayliss, hello.
Good afternoon, Chris.
Give me a brief insight, because it's really interesting to hear your perspective.
In the last 5 to 10 years, it's been getting progressively worse, and sadly now there's very little difference between the days. Fridays and Mondays are our worst days. The weekends are very challenging.
What's the solution, then?
The only answer, from my humble perspective, is actually take health out of politics.
Good luck with that.
And health managed on a cross-party basis, And so when they actually have to have the tough decisions with the public, the honest decisions, which is this simple, you get what you pay for. If you want to have a better service, you need to put increased resources, or you have to accept the service isn't what you'd want. That discussion will never come from a politician wearing a party rosette. It has to come from a cross-party management of the health service. And at that time, perhaps we can actually change things. And perhaps, you know, say after the long view of 30 years, things might actually change.
Thanks for your perspective. We really appreciate it.
Speaker 4.
Laith Alexander is in Cambridge. Hello, Laith.
Hello. Hi.
You're a final year medical student, so you're just about to embark on a career in the NHS, I guess.
Exciting.
I hope we haven't put you off in the last 20 minutes.
No, absolutely not. My point really relates to a lot of the discussion on triaging. So I've been to sort of several A&E departments on my placement, and there are so many different services on offer in A&E. There's GP streaming services, there's out-of-hours, there's emergency nurse practitioners, there's the A&E proper with the main queue into the main department. And sometimes I have to say I've noticed that there is a little bit of inefficiency actually within the mechanics of the department itself. Some of those areas are less busy than others. And particularly with regard to the GP streaming, which was rolled out relatively quickly a couple of years ago.
What's that?
So this is the idea that several GPs will be present in the A&E department, and they're meant to see sort of less serious conditions. So there's no evidence actually behind GP streaming working, improving waiting times. And actually, I think it's taking a lot of GPs out of primary care, where they should be, and putting them in A&E, where they're actually, to some extent, less useful.
Thank you, Laith. We appreciate it. Sorry to interrupt you there. There's so many callers on this topic, so many different perspectives.
Speaker 5.
Last call on this. Jerry is in London and is a NHS locum, I think. Jerry, hi.
Hello there. I've worked as a locum consultant in ophthalmology in a number of A&E departments in and around London.
And when you hear people on the radio like me talking about targets in A&E, is that a helpful conversation to hear from your perspective or not?
Well, in A&E departments where I've worked, breaching is seen as a sort of cardinal sin. And so everything is done in order to avoid breaching the 4-hour waiting time.
So sort of what, rushing people through at 3 hours, 55 minutes?
Well, exactly. I mean, hospitals have ways of dealing with that. And one way is to sort of put patients in a review category on the computer system.
Ah, and does that stop the clock?
Yeah, it stops the clock, but they still keep waiting. They're just now under the radar. They aren't counted in people who've waited for longer than 4 hours.
It's a cunning wheeze.
Exactly. But many hospitals have other ways of dealing with that problem, because they absolutely don't want to be fined for breaching that unrealistic 4-hour waiting target. And I say unrealistic because...
Jerry, thank you for that. We appreciate it.